We're back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. So check out these numbers. Up 3% in Broward, up 8% in Miami-Dade, up 11% in Palm Beach County. That's how much the median price of a single-family home increased last month compared to a year ago. All up. So by that measure, the South Florida housing market, hey, still booming. Good times, right? Well, hold on. Consider these numbers. Down 11% in Broward, down 15% in Palm Beach County, down 16% in Miami-Dade. That's the fall off in the number of sales of single-family homes in July compared to last summer. Simply put, prices going up, the number of deals is dropping. So is this the beginning of the end of another real estate boom here in South Florida? Are you buying? Are you selling? What does this mean for efforts by some bedroom communities to develop their downtown districts? 800-743-9576. Real estate, the blood sport in South Florida, is next here. 800-743-WLRN. Let us know on social media, Facebook and Twitter as well. Nick Nehamas covers real estate and business for our partner, the Miami Herald, with us from our Doral studios, and Brian Bandel, much the same for the South Florida Business Journal. Guys, welcome back to the Florida Roundup for both of you. Brian, do these numbers have a familiar ring to them?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's exactly like the recession that we had in 2008, 2010, but it's certainly not good. I think part of the problem is there's a huge overhang of inventory on the market. Prices were driven up, but there aren't enough buyers that can afford these prices. So as they keep driving higher and higher, we're seeing sales slow down. And in the condo market, it's particularly strained because in most of these buildings, you can't get FHA financing. You can't get Fannie Mae financing either.
Right, which is government-backed financing, which allows a lower down payment, for instance. And the numbers I mentioned at the top are the single-family home numbers. The condominium numbers are even more exaggerated. So, Nick, history never repeats, but it certainly rhymes here. Can the same be said for the South Florida real estate? We've heard this tune maybe in a different key 5 or 6 years ago.
Right, yeah. The difference we're seeing here, I think, is there's not that kind of bad debt in the market like there was last time. But, you know, you see a 20% overall sales drop in Miami-Dade, and that has to be concerning to a lot of folks. The interesting thing is that it's really a tale of two markets in some sense. I mean, we're seeing a total drop-off in foreign buyers because their currencies have plummeted, and they can't afford to buy at the same pace that they used to. But because there's so little inventory and there's been so little development of, say, the under $300,000 range, you know, the range where most locals can afford to buy, that market is still extremely competitive and still very hard to afford a home if you live and work in Dade and Broward.
Both of you have mentioned inventory. Both of you have alluded to affordability. That's supply and demand. It is the supply of homes and the demand of homes, the supply of dollars to go after those and the demand for dollars. So, Brian, let's talk about inventory here. When you were talking about inventory, number of homes for sale, still relatively low, historically speaking, not a lot of homes on the market, partially because so fewer people are in foreclosure, so fewer bank-owned properties are now in the market. We've washed through that cycle.
Well, it's different when you look at the single-family home and then the condo market. The single-family home, there are not that many for sale, especially because there aren't many in foreclosure. In the condo market, there's a huge overhang of inventory for sale.
New built or existing?
Some of it is it's existing, but also there's a lot of these buildings that were recently completed. About half of the units are immediately put up for sale. These buyers are looking to flip. So that adds to the inventory of what's for sale. The problem is a lot of this stuff, you're looking for more foreign buyers to come in and buy this stuff. And those same foreign buyers are also looking at newly built product that's under construction now. There's just not enough buyers to go around for the huge amount of inventory of condos.
Let's go to the phones here. Real estate in South Florida. Are we on the cusp of a bubble bursting? Chris is joining us on line one from Miami. Chris, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to make a comment. So we buy single-family homes. During the downturn, they stopped building homes. So in the U.S. overall, we're about 5 million short for the replacement and, you know, the immigration and the demand. So it's impossible to compare residential markets and combine condos and single-family together now. Mm-hmm. And they've absolutely overbuilt the condos, but there's no leverage this time. So I think that we'll see a stagflation instead of a precipitous drop-off like before, because banks aren't forcing them to foreclose.
Chris, are you still active in the market?
We're absolutely active. We sell bulk packages. We buy and sell bulk packages of single-family homes, mostly on cap rate. And, you know, there are not so many available still. Big institutions have come in the market, but
those homes, I imagine, wind up being not owner-occupied, but rented. Is that right, Chris?
Absolutely, with innovative programs to exit as owners, so that they're rent to own on some of the portfolio.
Chris, we appreciate it. Nick Nehamas with the Miami Herald. That is an interesting phenomenon we've seen here in South Florida. With single-family homes, with bulk purchases of condominiums, a lot of venture funds, hedge funds, other kind of hot, so-called hot money, hot investor money with these low interest rates going after real estate in South Florida, purchasing a lot of real estate and then renting out, impacting the market not only for buyers but also renters.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's part of, you know, what makes it so difficult to find a single family home. If you're using financing, you know, you're often going to get beat to closing by an investor or a big company who can offer cash. That's much preferable to sellers.
So let's talk about now the affordability question as well. There was a mortgage and loan website, HSH, that was out with a study this week finding that it takes about $66,000 per year in a salary to buy a home in Miami-Dade County. That's about $20,000 plus or minus more than the average salary, Nick. We've seen this phenomenon before in terms of average home prices running away from local median salaries, but we've seen that sustain itself for the better part of this real estate cycle. So why now would that begin to crack?
Well, I think, I'm not sure it will at the lower end. The foreign buyers who are dropping off are looking at the downtown condos or the beach condos. All the evidence suggests that the single family market is going to stay tight. There's just not new land to build on, and developers aren't focusing on that segment of the market because the profits are up at the upper end. So I think, you know, prices will start to moderate, but there's still just so much competition to buy that single family home.
So let's talk about developers here, Brian. Brian Bandel with the South Florida Business Journal. What has been the impact on developers of those higher-end condominiums, but also the developers, of which there are fewer and fewer of, for the single-family homes because there's less and less land to develop?
Well, the condo developers are having a pretty dramatic slowdown for most cases. Only a few projects are really doing well, and I think the projects that are doing better tend to be the ones that are already under construction, that the buyer can see the finish line when they're going to get the units. The problem is all the projects that haven't started sales recently. If you look at the report from ISG World, there are 30 condos in South Florida that are less than 50% pre-sold.
Of 30 condominium projects.
Yeah, projects.
Buildings.
That
yeah.
are less than 50% pre-sold. Of those, 23 are less than a quarter, less than a third pre-sold.
And why is that 50% pre-sold an important marker?
Because if you don't, most projects are not going to break ground unless you're 50% pre-sold.
No shovels in the ground until
that
50%
mark. You need those buyer deposits.
Right.
And when you look at, if you're maybe at 45, maybe you can get there. But if you're, say, at 30, 35%, you probably won't get there this year or next year.
Part of that capital stack that the developers talk about, the capital stack. Where are the dollars going in to pay for the building? And some of that, more and more, Nick, in this cycle compared to the last cycle, came from buyers, with the developers demanding 50% down, not 0% down on pre-sold, pre-construction condominiums.
Absolutely. They need that money to start building. And so we're seeing some developers start to pull back. They're not yet, for the most part, saying they're going to cancel projects, but they are saying that they're going to develop them, you know, because it's tough for the developers unless they have really deep pockets to hold on to this land, to keep open the sales center, to keep the sales staff running. But they, you know, have to try and bridge the gap until we see more foreign buyers coming back into the market.
This real estate cycle, we've seen several communities trying to stoke development of downtown type districts. There's a big related group development in Doral, districts in Pembroke Pines, Boca Raton, Coral Springs. It goes on and on, Brian. Could we, because of the price slowdown in the single family home market, or rather the inventory challenges, but also the sales slowdown, what can we make of these efforts?
This is an attempt by a lot of cities to create a live-work-play district. The success has been varied of actually doing that. A lot of times you might be able to get people into apartments or get them shopping, but it's not all easy to find a job and have your home in the same area. But a lot of cities are trying it, and they're trying to build character. I think probably the best model in South Florida for a suburban town center is Miami Lakes. where you have recreation homes, some office space in there too. I think a lot of these projects don't have a lot of office space around. The Doral is probably the exception because it naturally has office space.
Right, right. Some of this, Nick, will have a retail space around it, and you know the retail industry isn't exactly having the easiest of times either.
No, you know, the big box stores are really struggling, but developers down here have a lot of confidence that the market is going to come back, you know, once the foreign currencies come back, and they're seeing a lot of migration from the Northeast. So we have a ton of malls being renovated and new stores being built all over South Florida up to Palm Beach. You know, the question, again, like on the condo side, is are the developers overestimating our market's capacity for retail, and are they going to end up overbuilding?
Our concept of a foreign buyer has moved from Brazil to Boston, right?
Yeah, there's we're looking for New Yorkers, and you know, now you see developers start talking about Turkish buyers and Chinese buyers, and you know, frankly, while any new source of cash is good for developers, they're just not going to be here in the numbers, you know, that a Latin American market could provide.
But Brian,
and keep in mind that the New York buyers, they don't want to pay all cash. They prefer to put money down. They prefer to get a Fannie Mae loan. A lot of the condo buildings, the Fannie Mae loans aren't available.
And when it comes to cash, there is still a concerted focus on the sources of that cash because of Miami and South Florida's real estate history about some dirty cash going through it. There was a geographic target order from the Treasury Department that required additional disclosure for real estate deals in cash over $1 million. Brian, is that an impact on the high end of the market too?
Well, no one in the market says it is, but it has to be. I mean, there have to be people who have had deals in the pipeline that fell out or they made different decisions. Now, if your goal is really to launder money, you could do a bunch of transactions at $900,000 instead of do them at $1 million. I mean, there are certainly ways around it, but another way is to I'll just pick a different city. I'll pick the city where this isn't being targeted. But there has to be an impact. It's hard to say how wide it is, though.
But Nick, they've expanded this disclosure up to include Broward County now, not just Miami.
Yeah, Broward, Palm Beach, L.A., San Antonio, interestingly, probably because it's so close to Mexico. And so, you know, I think real estate is in the U.S. is really the last unregulated market. It was supposed to be regulated by the Patriot Act, just mm-hmm. like banks and other financial institutions, but the industry won an exemption, and I think we're seeing strong moves from federal regulators that, you know, there's not going to be a blind eye turned to what's happening in the real estate market anymore.
That's Nick Nehemas with our partner of the Miami Herald from our studios in Doral. Brian Brandel also with us from the South Florida Business Journal. Thanks to both of you for joining us on the Florida Roundup. Finally, on the roundup this week, we remember what South Florida was like 24 years ago. It was reeling from Hurricane Andrew. The death, destruction, and desolation experienced by many during those hours, days, and months after the storm remain fresh today, as do stories of humanity to friends and foul. It's a lasting image of Andrew, flamingos huddled among the sinks and stalls in a public restroom at the old Miami Metro Zoo. Ron McGill with Zoo Miami took the picture as zoo workers gathered the birds while the storm was bearing down.
That's when all of a sudden I go, okay, everybody, one, two, go. And everybody goes in and just grabs as many flamingos as they can. And we're handing them up. We got people on the bridge. We're handing them up one by one. And they're walking into the bathroom, letting them go to the bathroom, coming back, getting more. Person literally hand walks them, holds them up to his chest, hand walks to the bathroom, opens the bathroom door, lets them go. And they immediately go to the other flamingo that's already been left out. It's the first flamingo that gets in the bathroom that's kind of freaked out. Oh my God, I'm the only one here. It's just a lot of flapping. And flamingos make a very unattractive sound. It's just 20 to 30 flamingos just standing there. And they're all in the corner, hovering in the corner, just kind of looking at you and looking at their own reflection in the mirror on the wall over the sink. And you look at their faces and they're kind of like, what the heck is this?
That's from a WLRN radio documentary, Remembering Andrew. You can find the entire documentary on our website. That'll do it for the Florida Roundup this week. It is produced by Bridget O'Brien and Alicia Zuckerman. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. WLRN's program director is Peter Mertz. Our technical supervisor is Jason Zabka. Thanks, Jay. Join us on Facebook. Let us know what you're talking about at facebook.com/groups/TheFloridaRoundup. Have a great and safe weekend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. I'm Tom Hudson.